And joining me in the KRVS studios, I'm really happy to say, returning after 6 years, probably since the last time you were here, Drake Potier. He is the president and CEO of the Houma Terrebonne Chamber of Commerce and used to be with the Lafayette Chamber of Commerce a number of years ago. Kind of by way of Arkansas, ended up back in Louisiana in Houma. And you're here today, Drake, to talk about the first ever Best of the Bayou Festival, which will be taking place in Houma September 29th and 30th. So that's really interesting, from working here in Lafayette with the Chamber to going to Houma and becoming a festival organizer.
Yeah. If you would have approached me about this about a year ago, I would tell you that that would never have happened. But it's certainly something that, has come to fruition very quickly over about an eight-month period. And but we're very excited about it. It's going to be an awesome show, and, you know, especially for a first-ever show. We went for the gusto to try to really make a splash because, as you know, in South Louisiana, the festival market is certainly a jam-packed market.
So the bar is really high.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and, tell us how it came to be that you put on this festival. Why did you all do it?
Well, following the 2010 BP oil spill, a lot of the coastal parishes that were impacted by the oil spill received some tourism money that came from BP and came from the state to try to promote tourism back to the parishes. And in Terrebonne Parish, a plan was put together to try to drive some of that tourism back. And the money's been spent on some rebranding and some advertising, as you can imagine, some of those staples. But they decided that they wanted to bring a music and cultural festival back to downtown Houma, which is a very historic, and it's an awesome, awesome downtown. A lot of activity, a lot of rebirth, just like Lafayette's had, you know, in the 80s and 90s. Houma's is experiencing the same growth and rebirth, and it's just an awesome sight to see. And they haven't had a downtown festival since, I think, 2003. And we have some other great festivals, including the Voice of the Wetlands Festival, which a lot of people might have heard with Tab Benoit. It's an awesome event, and it's a couple of weeks after our event. But nothing was downtown. And so they approached the Chamber, which wasn't in the festival business, as is true with the Chamber here in Lafayette. But they knew that we had a core group of volunteers, and they knew that we had the know-how to put on
an event.
Yeah. So this is bigger than a golf tournament, which is ones that I'm normally used to, but certainly something that we saw the potential of what this had. And frankly, with my experience volunteering with Festival International, you know, from day one, I kind of had an idea of what I thought this festival could be. And I, you know, I had experienced greatness with Festival International, as you well know, and everybody here in Lafayette well knows. And Dana Baker and her staff has been an awesome support system for us and has given us a lot of great advice and helped us avoid some landmines. We stepped in a few already, but she certainly helped us avoid a lot of them. But we really went for a large-scale event, even in the first year, because we want this festival to have some staying power. And we have our grant money for 2 years, and you can't just rely on that. And you can't think that this thing can happen again and again if you don't really give it the character and the publicity and build it strong from the beginning to make sure that it can sustain itself. And so that's really what we've done.
Well, tell us a bit about, I know our listeners all know Houma and they know the Terrebonne Parish, but many of our listeners may not have actually been down there recently and may not know the full scope of the parish and the town. Tell us just a bit about your parish.
Sure. Well, I'm in a very unique position because, as you know, the chambers are certainly a welcoming door for a lot of people who visit or relocate. And you know, I've been in Terrebonne now for almost 5 years, and even before moving there, had a lot of misconceptions about what Terrebonne is. And a lot of people think it's a small fishing village because that's really what it started off as. But, you know, Terrebonne, our economy is now the fifth largest in the state. I mean, we have an extremely low unemployment. I think Lafayette and Terrebonne Parish compete every month or every quarter for the lowest unemployment in the state, which is generally amongst the lowest in the country. And we have a lot of manufacturing. A lot of the ships that are made for Coast Guard and a lot of the drilling ships are all manufactured in Terrebonne Parish and in our neighboring parish, Lafourche. We have a very strong economy. It's a small city because they haven't expanded the city limits, but there's over 115,000 people in Terrebonne Parish, and we're growing. And so you'd be amazed when you drive in to see, especially if you visited in the 80s and 90s and saw, you know, what was a smaller community, to see the expansion that has taken place despite a lot of the challenges that we face, which we're right on the coast. We are threatened. You know, any hurricane that enters the Gulf automatically raises our eyes because we get flooded, and we don't have a lot of the strong levees that were built, like in New Orleans following Katrina and Rita. Terrebonne wasn't the beneficiary of a lot of that federal income. In fact, we have no federal money going to our levees. We're building them ourselves. We self-tax ourselves to build up our levees. And so we're very threatened and challenged on a yearly basis, and hurricane season is not a fun season for us. But
you can have a festival right in the middle of it.
Yes, well, I know. Yeah. And I helped pick the date, so I had nobody to blame but myself. Mm. But we're going to hopefully stick our noses up to the hurricane gods and just show what we can, that we want to celebrate everything that Terrebonne Parish is, and hopefully people from around the state will come help us celebrate.
Well, also tell us about HOMA. What's downtown HOMA like now?
It's such a unique and great place. You're going to see a lot of older buildings and that are used obviously for current businesses, whether they're restaurants or little shops, and you see some murals that have been painted on the sides of the walls, and there's some very interesting looking buildings too. So some of the architecture is, it's not all boxed buildings. There's some that are in the shapes of, triangles, and it's just very interesting place, and it's a very walkable downtown. We have an awesome courthouse square. It's just a green area with benches that you can go in and sit and just sit under the oak trees, and so it's a very quiet place. There's a marina not far from within walking distance from even the courthouse square, and so the festival is going to take place entirely in downtown HOMA. We're going to bookend downtown HOMA with two large scale stages. And so we want guests to come in and enjoy everything that our downtown has to offer, and hopefully spend the night and maybe spend the weekend and get to see what Terrebonne Parish has to offer.
Right. Well, it sounds like a really great opportunity for those of us who have not visited HOMA recently or perhaps never.
Exactly. And it's so close. I mean, really, you from Lafayette, it's a 90-minute drive east on Highway 90, and there's you can take one of two or three exits, and in two or three minutes from Highway 90, you can be in downtown HOMA and see a lot of the great retail that we have even outside of downtown, but certainly what downtown has to offer, especially because of a lot of the rebuilding that we're doing right now. And I would hope that if this festival has the staying power that we're planning for it to be, that if you come this first year and then you come next year, you're going to see the continued development of our redevelopment of our downtown. And hopefully in year three and four, you'll see it even further, because, you'll see buildings that are currently being renovated. I mean, there's plywood up on some windows because those buildings are being renovated right now. And it just shows you how much capabilities that the people have and the vision that they have for what downtown HOMA can be. It's very, very similar to what happened in downtown Lafayette.
And we all know how wonderful that is now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's so exciting to see, because I saw it, frankly, as a youngster in Lafayette when I was growing up. And I see it now live and in person, and know the business owners who are investing a lot of their sweat equity and their financial capital to turn things around, and it's just a wonderful sight to see.
If you have just tuned in, my guest is Drake Potier. He is the president and CEO of the HOMA Terrebonne Chamber of Commerce, here talking about their first ever annual Best of the Bayou Festival that will be September 29th and 30th. So let's talk about the festival. You mentioned there are going to be two stages in downtown HOMA around the court. Yard Square, I guess. You've got some great musicians that you've been able to hire this year.
And a lot of people from Lafayette will recognize a lot of the names, too. We have 25 bands, so we're certainly going to fill all the spaces that we can. You're not going to be able to spend much time downtown and not hearing some music taking place. But, some of the headliners that we have, or the givers, are going to close out the festival on Sunday evening. Mark Broussard is closing out the festival on Saturday evening. But we've got legendary blues artist Ruthie Foster. She's from Austin. We've got Al Little Fats Jackson, who's, I think, from the New Orleans area. We've got Cowboy Mouth, who's got a lot of notoriety from the New Orleans area. But like I said, we have 25 bands. 15 of them are from Terrebonne Parish and Lafourche Parish. So we've got a lot of great local artists that have a lot of original music that people are going to want to hear. So if you might not have had the opportunity to hear some of these bands, but they're so great. Terrebonne has a very rich music history. So 23 of the 25 bands are all from Louisiana. And so even though a lot of them, like the Givers and Mark Broussard, have a lot of national notoriety, they're still local boys and girls done good. And we want to showcase that, which is true to the name of the Best of the Bayou. And two of the artists are going to be from the Austin area. But we've got one of the requests when I started putting the festival together, the one request that I had, because they're a personal favorite of mine, is to have the Red Stick Ramblers. And I hadn't heard them live until when I came back this year for Festival International, and we were lucky enough to get them to come and play. I've been bragging on them in Terrebonne Parish for years, and that's the one request that I had, and we were able to pull that together, so I'm extremely excited about that.
Well, I'm sure people haven't been able to jot down all the bands you've been saying. Is there a specific website that
bestofthebayou.org. We have a list of the bands there, as well as the times that they're playing. You can also find us on Facebook at Best of the Bayou, and we're also on Twitter. So there's a lot of ways that we're getting the music, not only the music listings, but everything else. You know, we know that a lot of people might not know a lot about Terrebonne Parish, so we have a list of the hotels and the other restaurants that you can eat at. We're going to have off-site parking. We're going to bus people down for people who don't know where to find those hidden parking spots that somebody's uncle knows about in downtown Houma. We're expecting a lot of the locals to park to find those spots downtown, but we're going to make it as easy as we can for the tourists coming in from Lafayette and New Orleans and Baton Rouge and everywhere in between to find a place to go. But we're also going to have some awesome, awesome food. We have 13 food vendors, and it's a range of nonprofits and professional catering companies. We have everything from your prototypical festival food like hot dogs and hamburgers for kids and snowballs, but we have alligator sauce pecan, we have grilled oysters, we have oyster and shrimp po' boys, we have barbecue. It runs the gamut, and you're going to be able to find something that you're going to want. We're limiting the menus, meaning that we don't want to have 15 jambalayas. You're only going to have like one or two, and they're all going to be different flavored jambalayas. And so you're going to be able to find something that you're going to want. It's going to certainly tempt your palates, and it's just going to be an awesome event to see. So your ears will be pleased, and so will your mouth and your stomach.
Now, do y'all also have sort of an artists area to this?
We have arts and crafts vendors, and we've partnered with a group called Options for Independence, who, following the oil spill, put together what they call the Gulf Coast Marketplace. And they wanted to help local artisans to recover from the oil spill by showcasing the talent that they had. And so they created something called the Gulf Coast Marketplace. And you can look it up on the web, where they're selling online local artists' wares, whether they're duck decoys or paintings, or even there's some musicians and writers who are posting all of their wares on the site. Well, we partnered with them because they knew the local artists. And so this is not something that our arts and crafts vendors, our area isn't going to have people reselling a lot of stuff that they buy somewhere else. This is true artisans who are selling the stuff that they made with their own hands or with their own minds. And so we're so excited about that opportunity to showcase what they have to offer. And the other part of the arts that we're going to be showcasing is we did an art contest for our festival poster. And I believe we had about 12 entries from local artists and we picked the winner, and we have posters like that of the winning poster to sell. But we're going to showcase all the artwork for all the entries, because they're all so unique and wonderful in their own right. And we want to showcase them too. So you'll be able to come and see the artwork from all the poster entries. So we're really excited about that as well.
Well, it sounds like y'all have really focused on the local, but with music and art and food. And it sounds like by attending the festival, people really are helping to support local
as
well. Yes,
and that's really what it's all about. We want to draw tourists, but we want to showcase Terrebonne Parish, and we want to help those people. You know, Terrebonne was very much hurt by the oil spill. We were ground zero for the oil spill, and a lot, our economy was extremely impacted, and especially people who are self-employed and small business owners and local artists. And you're going to see a lot of those people showcased. And also it gives people a chance to show off their parish. And people, just like in Lafayette and the surrounding areas, and really Louisiana in general, they're so proud of their community. And I think they're going to want to show off Terrebonne Parish. And I think we're going to put on an excellent show for everybody coming in to see. So we really want as many people as possible to come in. Certainly try to come for the weekend, but if not, just at least come for the day. And But it'll be two full days of music, food, and fun, and I know everybody's going to enjoy themselves.
Well, again, if you have just tuned in, my guest, Drake Potier, originally from Lafayette, a UL alum, also worked for the Lafayette Chamber of Commerce, is now the CEO and president of the Houma Terrebonne Chamber of Commerce, talking about their first annual Best of the Bayou Festival that will be September 29th and 30th in Houma, in downtown Houma. Again, a great opportunity for those of us who have not been in a long time or have never visited Houma to see that space and to really celebrate and help to support that part of Louisiana.
Yeah, we would certainly appreciate it.
And again, how can people find out more information?
If they go to bestofthebayou.org, that's our website. They can also call the Chamber office, which is 985-876-5600. The other side of this, too, is that the festival, we created the foundation for the festival. So the Chamber doesn't own this event. It's not a fundraiser for the Chamber. It's a fundraiser for the foundation. And while it's not going to happen this year, our long-term plan is that we want the proceeds from the festival to be able to go back into the community in the form of community development grants, whether it's to help continue the revitalization of downtown or whether it's to go to some other worthy nonprofits. We're going to put together a grant system because not only do we want to celebrate and showcase Houma with this festival, we want the festival to help make Terrebonne a better place for our people. And so everything about this festival, there's no selfish thing about this festival. It's all about trying to show off our parish, bring people back, and then to help our parish become a better place to live.
Well, we certainly appreciate all of the work that you all are doing Drake Potier, you obviously learned a lot from your experiences here with the Chamber, the festival, being a student here at UL, and we're so happy to hear all the wonderful things you're doing down in
so
Terrebonne
much.
Parish in Houma. That's Best of the Bayou, the first annual Best of the Bayou Festival, September 29th and 30th. Find out more by going to their website and all of the other social media.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much, Drake.
Thanks, Judith.
Claudio Abbado conducted the London Symphony with a performance of Fingal's Cave, the Hebrides, Opus 26 by Felix Mendelssohn. It's 28 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Jeannie Kramer and Vaughn Baker from the Lafayette Art Association, here to talk about a new exhibit that's on display now and possibility for interaction with people. They're having a little auction, a silent auction, along with this new exhibit. You all are busy constantly over at the Lafayette Art Association. I want to keep calling it the new space, but you've actually been in there for how long now? 3 years. You've been in that new space on St. Mary Boulevard for 3 years now. I know there are still a lot of people in our audience who have not yet been to that space, and we're going to kind of get you to encourage them to attend the exhibit, and I know you have a reception for that as well.
Well, we're always eager to have as many people come by the gallery and to see the exhibits. It stay up pretty regularly, open every afternoon during the week. We have a beautiful space. We have lots of wonderful local community artists and a constantly changing series of exhibits. So the one that we have now is called Put a Cork in It. And I'm going to ask Jeannie to talk about the nature of that exhibit and the schedule and the time and all of that.
I'm sure a lot of people are curious as to the title.
Well, I really can't claim ownership of the title. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have to say that our gallery director, Ty Malloy, is the clever person who did that. But Put a Cork in It, I think, is a herald of the holiday season. And we literally are putting a cork in things that we've done. It's an all-media, all-member show. We have about 75 pieces, which is a huge show this year. It's also a juried show, and there'll be awards given at the end of the show, which will be ending in mid-November. It also is one that allows members to not only exhibit their work aside others' work, but because it's juried, not all of the things that are submitted go in. So what you see is really the best of what people have submitted.
Hmm. Well, tell us about some of the artists who are included in this juried show.
Well, we are two of them here today.
Mm-hmm. And, congratulations.
Thank you. We have Sheldon Blue, John Bienvenue. We have a number of oil as well as acrylic artists. We have some abstract artists. We have some really luminaries within the arts group within Lafayette and this Acadiana area. But we also have potters, jewelry makers, glass blowers, and we have some material art, too. It's a pretty remarkable show, I have to say.
I'd like to talk just a little bit about the quality of the artwork that we have in this community. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I worked with the UL Studies Abroad program for 20-something years. And because of that, I was fortunate enough to really see museums all over the place, very specifically all over Europe. And I can testify that the work that we have here is equal to anything I've seen anywhere and is better than some I've seen. So we have some outstanding artists. I'll talk a little bit about Sheldon Blue. Mm-hmm. He is a Lafayette native. He grew up here in Lafayette, graduated from Cathedral High School back in the 50s, had a distinguished career as an architect in Baton Rouge and in Washington State. Came back here after retiring and took up painting, and he is an outstanding watercolorist, does really, really interesting work. So he's just one example of the kind of people that we have. We also have some jewelry makers that are truly award-winning in their unique designs, and they make the materials oftentimes themselves from precious metals, work those metals, add them together with beads and natural materials in a stunning kind of way.
Yeah, I know, so you all brought this lovely example here, this great bracelet with some wonderful labradorite and some other stones. Really lovely. And I think I've seen some of your work, Jeannie, with the precious metals, the clay. Mm-hmm. You have something on right now.
I do indeed.
You can't tell that that's not the actual metal.
Oh, no, it is actually silver.
It's 99% silver.
Yes, not solid. Like that, though. I mean, it's, I guess, with clay, and don't you?
No, actually, after it's kilned, it's pure silver.
Okay, so
it's
you pour
what it
in
is.
There.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm even more impressed then. That's really lovely.
Well, what I want to add to what Vaughn is saying, too, about our artist, Simon Palmer, who's a local jewelry maker as well as ceramist, just was selected for the number one jewelry competition showing in a magazine, a journal of fine jewelers, particularly with the precious metals, clay, and other things like it. She's one of 20 artists in the United States who's been selected for that honor. And we just got wind of that. She did last week. Her work is not only there, but also in the silent auction. And I just can't begin to tell you how beautiful her things are. Her husband, Terry, also is a ceramist, and he has some magnificent three-dimensional figures that are being displayed, too.
Well, Vaughn, I begin to get a better sense of what you're talking about, just scope and the quality
exactly.
of
that's right.
That you have.
And while we're talking about different media, I would really want to mention some of our photographers. We have outstanding photographers. I would mention very specifically Joe Pons, who retired from the university, and his work is really fine art photography, as is Carrie Greichen. So I think if people will come to the gallery, will come to our reception. We have several a year. We love to have new people come. Everyone who comes into that space is amazed and says, oh, I didn't know this was here. I didn't know how nice it was. We've had comments like that from people coming into town from other parts of the country. So sometimes we feel like we're one of Lafayette's best-kept secrets.
That's a very large, versatile space. I know you all have divided it up into larger and smaller exhibits. Very, very nice space.
And Vaughn's going to talk about how we're going to use it in about 2 weeks for a very, very special watercolor workshop.
Well, that's right. We do use it not only for exhibits and receptions, but for ongoing classes in various media. Jewelry classes regularly. We have a special workshop coming up October the 1st to October the 4th. It's a four-day workshop with a watercolor instructor from Alabama named Don Andrews. Now, Don is a very prominent watercolor expert and recognized throughout the country. He often serves as a juror for the American Watercolor Association, which is one of the three most prestigious watercolor societies in the United States, based in New York. Don recently juried a show here for the University Art Museum, the Hilliard Art Museum, which has a watercolor, Louisiana watercolor show up right now that just opened. Judith, you know French.
I do, but actually that word just kind of defeats me.
I think it's aquareliste. Is it something close?
Yeah, something like that. But it is a lovely exhibit. I was there for the opening last Friday. And, you know, just talking about all this art, it sometimes amazes me when I go into particularly offices, how little art on the walls.
We agree.
You know, individual offices, hallways and office buildings. And,
very expensive frames.
Well, and I just think, you know, to have local art in public buildings and offices is such a wonderful thing, not only showcasing the art, but it makes it so much warmer. I know when we first moved into our space, there was nothing on the walls, and it's quite nice to fill that with warmth and color and the talent that you all are talking about. So, a great opportunity y'all are offering to our community to acquire art. If you have just tuned in, my guests are Jeannie Kramer and Vaughn Baker. Both of them are with the Lafayette Art Association as well as the Watercolor Guild. I know one of the first times you all came, we were talking about not only the association, but how rapidly the Watercolor Guild filled up and how many people were interested in joining the guild, how much interest there is in watercoloring in this area.
Well, that's been very exciting for us because we personally were interested in watercolor, and one of the first things we discovered was that there were very few people in the community who understood the medium. It's a much underrated, undervalued medium. And that's one of the main reasons we're excited about the fact that Lafayette, as a community, has embraced it. And we're particularly excited that the University Art Museum has validated it as a serious medium in providing a special showcase of Louisiana watercolorists. So we have some very strong ones here in Lafayette. Sadly, their work is not that well known. We're hoping that it will become better known.
Well, with that exhibit that you all are having.
People seem to understand acrylic and oil more easily. I don't know why, because I think watercolor used to be mainly seen as an illustration medium, and people think that it can't be a serious painting medium. But anything you can do with any other paint, you can do with watercolor. And there are things you can do with watercolor that you simply can't do with any other paint.
This workshop that's coming up with Don Andrews, is it for intermediate watercolorists, or if you're a beginner, what would you suggest?
I would suggest if a person allows one, if one allows oneself simply to go with the flow, this would be wonderful for a beginner.
Good introduction.
A very good introduction, because Don's style is big brushes, loose, beautiful lyrical moves. Mm-hmm. And he also is a very understanding, gentle teacher, although he is a dynamite artist himself. So he really, I've watched him. We've had him here once before. He had a younger person in high school who came. And the time and patience he invested in her work and the way that he helped her was really wonderful to see. We all profited from that because we are, I guess, intermediate watercolorists to advanced. But I would urge anyone who is interested in even trying to come to this workshop. One could register at the Lafayette Art Association. The number is, of course, listed in the phone book. You can go to our website, www.lafayetteart.org, and get the information there. But one would need to call in and or come in and register so that we have all of your information. It's a four-day workshop, mm-hmm. and just delightful. We welcome beginners. We really do. And we would probably make sure that a beginner has someone like Vaughn or myself sitting next to that person mm-hmm. so that we can help to walk you through. Well, even you, Judith.
Do come, Judith.
Yes, Judith.
I love looking at aquarelles, I think is how you say that,
yes,
watercolors.
Yes, that sounds right.
Maybe next time. They are talking about this workshop. It's a watercolor workshop by Don Andrews.
Yes.
It will be October 1st through the 4th.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
If you've just been thinking you'd love to be a watercolorist, mm-hmm. you could join this mm-hmm. workshop as well as any other level, intermediate, advanced.
Oh. That's right. I wanted to mm-hmm. add, because for most of these workshops, and I also want to add that Don is not only a wonderful instructor, he's a lot of fun.
Oh, he is.
He is funny. He makes the whole day pass by so quickly. And people come and just accept the fact that anybody at any level is going to learn something, mm-hmm. and it's not about the product, it's about the process.
Yes.
That is important. So
being creative, creating
yes.
something.
Yeah, and one reason for plunging into watercolor, if you're interested in painting at all, is because the materials are really less expensive and easier to deal with than trying to learn about the chemicals of oil painting and, you know, canvas and all that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. with water, I know my daughter-in-law took a watercolor course and she was intimidated by the whole process. It was her first time and she was taking it with an instructor from Australia, and the woman walked by and grabbed the paper and said, "It's only paper."
That puts it in perspective.
It puts it in perspective.
Does.
That's right.
Only water and
don't
paper.
Don't be intimidated by it. It's just fun.
Well, as Jeannie was saying, you can go to the website, find
yes,
out more, or call. But that workshop is coming up October 1st through the 4th. If you would just like to see what the Lafayette Art Association has to offer, this exhibit that's on now, put a cork in it. And I guess, is that meaning that, okay, it's finished, put a cork in it, and let's put it out for a display?
Well, it's only finished for now. Art is never finished.
All right.
There's always the next project.
Well, these are on display, so I
yes.
guess there's one level of completion there, and that will be up through the beginning of November 9th, I think, mm-hmm. is the last day to see the exhibit. But you have a reception this coming Sunday.
Well, the 23rd.
The 23rd,
yes.
Which is this Sunday already, for September 23rd?
September 23rd.
Okay.
And it's open to the public, believe it or not, mm-hmm. in the late afternoon at 4 o'clock for 2 hours. And it's the last opportunity to bid on our silent auction.
Okay.
But let me mention something else while we're talking about it. The reason it's coming down in November is because we are getting ready at the end of November, actually the beginning of December, 2 weeks, to have over 100 pieces of art coming from Quebec, because we're engaged in an exchange between our Lafayette area artists and the artists of Quebec with a group called the Circle of Artists, Painters, and Sculptors of Quebec. I'm not going to try to mm-hmm. say it in French. They will be coming as a group, some of their artists, along with their works. We will be exhibiting them at City Hall and at the LAA Gallery. And then next year, our artists are going to be going there. So I really would like to encourage everyone to come by from here on until Christmas to kind of see what's going on at the Lafayette Art Association.
Right.
If you're interested in visual art, then we've got a lot to offer.
I'd like to give Vaughn a plug because often we think that it takes a village, and it does. But in the case of this really exciting first-time inaugural visit, something that's internationally important as this show, she's the one who had the vision and the thought to do it and worked to get it done. That's not an easy thing. It looks easy, but it's not. So I think the community owes Vaughn a huge vote of thanks for that.
Well, I have to give credit to Philippe Gustin.
Well, obviously, you know, there's so much twinning going on. Why not do it with art groups as well?
Exactly.
You know?
That's right.
What's going on. We've obviously exchanged musicians and gone
exactly.
You know, had
why
different
not
festivals.
Artists
exactly.
too now.
So a great opportunity to see artists from Canada.
Yeah.
And I guess when does that open up? End of November?
December 2nd.
Okay, December
2nd on that.
Well, hopefully we'll have someone back from
right
the Art
the
Association. If you are just tuning in, my guests Jeannie Kramer and Vaughn Baker with the Lafayette Art Association, talking about an exhibit that is on display now called Put a Cork in It. That will be up through November 9th. And there's a silent auction going on along with that exhibit that will end on Sunday. Mm-hmm. There's a reception on Sunday. Anyone can attend that reception, see the exhibit, and take a look at the items that are there. And it describes, are these items from the Put a Cork exhibit?
No, these are donated by us, members. Okay. And we have, I actually helped to put it together. We have about 95 objects, some very lovely, unusual thing. We even have, for the first time, etched glass. We haven't had that in a while, along with paintings, sculptures.
Art books.
There's
a beautiful book of Michelangelo's paintings that's there. I drool over it.
I drool, too. It's one of the nicest publications I think I've seen. Also from the Precious Metals Group. Simon Palmer, Paul McDowell, folks who are really award-winning metal workers. And we have some small, interesting sculptures, too, that I had not seen before. And we have a handmade pitchfork someone brought in. Yes.
Oh, it's wide-ranging.
It is wide-ranging. It's an eclectic.
Our listeners perked up with that. Now, can they see these items only at the gallery?
Yes.
Or the, okay, not
only
online.
At the gallery. No, not online.
So tell people how they get to the gallery.
Oh, it's not
it's right on St. Mary Boulevard. I think it's 1008 East St. Mary. Right between the old Abdallah's building and the Petroleum Club. If you know the oil center at all, you ought to be able to find it.
And that's got to be old Lafayette.
Uh-huh.
The old Abdallah's building.
You can't miss it. There's a 7-foot-tall enamel paintbrush right on the side of the door.
Right. It's our entrance. It's all really fun.
And I know that not in addition to the paintbrush, you also see the boutique right there in
the
window.
Yes.
So lots of pottery, and you can really tell that it's an artistic place.
It's a great place to do gift shopping. Mm-hmm. People don't realize what unique gifts are available in our boutique.
Made by the artists who are part of the association.
Yes. Yeah.
And we do want to tell people that you all are a nonprofit organization, that you've been in the community for how long now?
Well, we're in our 54th year now.
54th year.
Yes. Continuing art association in the state. Right here.
For that long, you've been offering people the opportunity to take classes, to exhibit, and just gather and talk about art. I know so many people have appreciated that over the decades.
Well, the mission of the Lafayette Art Association and its founding objective was to enhance and encourage the visual arts in this community, and I think it's done that for 50-something years.
And it's obviously grown as well and added new aspects, just like the Watercolor Guild as well.
It's an amazing place, and it's an amazing group of people.
And new generations of people. We have members of all ages from 18 on up to 80-something.
Actually, someone whispered to me, I'll never say who, she was 94.
Oh,
maybe she was one of the original members.
I have no idea.
Well, it's sort of my ambition to be the next Grandma Moses.
Me too.
One could do a lot worse than to have that as one's ambition.
So.
Well, whoever, if you're listening right now, whoever you aspire to be artistically, the Lafayette Art Association could possibly
help you.
You can go and take a look at what they offer at the exhibit Put a Cork in It, which is on display now. There is a reception this coming Sunday from
4 to 6.
4 to 6 on Sunday. Everyone's invited to go. That will be the final day for the auction.
Yes.
So you can see those items at that time or go before. And there's there's a watercolor workshop coming up October 1st through the 4th. Don Andrews, if you're a beginner, no fear. These
no
ladies
fear.
Will help you.
Have
and,
no fear.
He's apparently really reassuring as well.
He's so top-notch.
Any level can register for the watercolor workshop. Anything else we should know about coming
well,
up?
Well, yes, Judith, I'd like to add one thing, and that is that our membership is not just for people who are wanting to make art. It is also for people who simply like to see art or see artists and talk about it. We have various levels of membership, one of which we call connoisseurs. It's less expensive, and it's simply people who really like to participate in our receptions and exhibits. Right. We need
and
lots of volunteers. Yeah. We really do need volunteer help.
Well, so any people out there who would like to volunteer
exactly,
their time?
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly. I don't want it to leave with the impression that it's only for people
or
who want to start painting or want to make jewelry. That's right.
No.
Or are interested in pottery. We do all those things. But if you just really want to get involved in a more active way and learn about art, we're a good place to come.
Un connoisseur. Mm-hmm. So what's the number people can call or the website?
The website is www.lafayetteart.org.
Mm-hmm. And telephone number in case they
telephone
call?
Number I don't have off the
all
top
right.
of my head. I'm so sorry.
Well, they can find that on the website.
That's
it's
right.
On
absolutely.
The website, okay. Exactly.
That's LafayetteArt.org. Check that out and participate in some way in the arts. Support
do
it
come.
Or be an
we
artist.
We hope so.
Yeah.
Do come, yes.
Well, thank you both, Vaughn Baker, Jeannie Kramer with the Lafayette Art Association.
Thank you,
Judith.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. This past Friday at the Hilliard University Art Museum, there was a fabulous opening for a number of exhibits that have just recently opened there. Collection of six artists, Louisiana Voices, six artists speak to us. That includes the work of Troy Duga, Amy Guidry, Linda Dotrill, Marjorie Pearson, Melissa Bona, and Lisa Osborne. Also, Rhyme and Reason, The Art of Sean Major, the Louisiana Watercolorist exhibit, and Viaticus by Ken Katara. Those are all on display now at the Hilliard University Art Museum. You can check their website, museum.louisiana.edu, for more information about the exhibits and their hours. The Friends of the Lafayette Public Library open their fall book sale this evening. It will be at the Hyman Convention Center Ballroom on South College Road. Tonight is for members only, but members can be purchased at the door tonight. It's a very nominal fee. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. The sale continues Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Wednesday 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Thursday from 9 a.m. until 3. The Stage Monkeys of Lafayette present improv theater at Theater 810. This Tuesday and Wednesday, the 18th and 19th, 7:30 both evenings. Tickets are available by calling Theater 810 at 484-0172. That's the Stage Monkeys of Lafayette. at the Lafayette Parish Library's South Regional Library. There will be a special program on Wednesday, Cajun Healing Traditions, Traiteurs. Alan Simon will be discussing the vanishing traiteur traditions that have been handed down. He'll share his own personal experiences as a traiteur and the history of this folk healing tradition. That's at the South Regional Library Meeting Room this Wednesday, September 19th from 6:30 until 7:30. In Lake Charles on Wednesday, there will be an evening of poetry and prose with Patrice Melnick and Eric Cormier. Eric Cormier is a native of Lake Charles and a graduate of McNeese. Patrice Melnick is a writer in Grand Coteau who has the literary evenings at least once a month and often more at Casa Azul in Grand Coteau. They will be reading at 7 o'clock on Wednesday at Stellar Beans in downtown Lake Charles. Also, this week in Lake Charles, there will be a free lecture titled Hearth of the Sky, Conceptions of Time and Space Among the Ancient Maya. That will be on September 20th, that's Thursday at 6 o'clock, in Stokes Auditorium of Hartner Hall on the McNeese campus. This Thursday in Grand Coteau at Casa Azul, a multilingual open mic. Everyone is invited to bring poems, songs, stories in different languages, Spanish, French, Vietnamese, or Bambara, whatever language you speak or read. Feel free to participate. It is appropriate for all ages. That's from 7 to 9:30 this Thursday, September 20th in Grand Coteau at Casa Azul. Opening this Wednesday, the Eunice Players Theater presents On Golden Pond, directed by Vincent Barra. The play is opening with a dinner theater on Wednesday the 19th at 6 o'clock. Evening performances will be scheduled September 20th through the 29th at 7 o'clock. For more information, you can go to their website, eunisplayers.blogspot.com, or go to their Facebook page. Again, that's the Eunice Players presenting On Golden Pond, directed by Vincent Barra. On the UL Lafayette campus this Friday, September 21st, there will be a lecture by Dr. Michael Bacan, professor of ethnomusicology from Florida State. He'll be talking about Indonesian gamelan music, the symbol and meaning in the gamelan music. It's from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. All are invited to attend. It's sponsored by the UL Percussion Ensemble and the Dr. Tommy Como Endowed Chair for Traditional Music. This Friday, down